Let's talk books. And one of our regular contributors, Lisa Glass, is here with three debut New Zealand novels to discuss. Hi there, Lisa.
Hi, Jesse. Yeah, so they're all debut New Zealand novels. They're all published this year, recently, so this year, by Victoria University Press. They're all by authors who've graduated from the prestigious Institute of Modern Letters at Victoria University, and they all have protagonists who are having a tough time in their 20s. So quite a few commonalities between these books, but also each a unique story.
Great. Lisa, as a woman of letters, have you ever thought of packing things up in Tauranga and heading down to do a year at the IIML?
Oh, look, I should be so lucky. I'm a reader for a reason. These people have abilities far beyond my own, but thank you so much for suggesting it might be possible.
Okay. Tell me about The Boyfriend by Laura Southgate.
So this is a real treat for anyone in the market for a bit of late 90s or early 2000s nostalgia, if you like your nostalgia to have a bit of a hard edge and remind you just how tough it is to be a student living in horrible flats and dealing with those sort of ragged-edged relationships that you get when you sort of fall into them because the people are just there rather than because you even particularly like them. It's quite a disturbing read with a young woman, 17-year-old Erica, who's trying to figure out who she is and her place in the world, and she finds herself with this boyfriend, the boyfriend of the title, Donnie, who's much older than her and who fancies himself to be a bit of a romantic hero. One of these guys is, you know, he's writ large in his own life story, but really he's anything but. Laura Southgate is writing from Erica's perspective, so we see how she's perceiving things, but of course we're also seeing it from our own, more removed point of view, and she's so good in the way that she had me simultaneously seeing Erica making these really bad decisions, and I was going, no, don't do that. But then at the same time, I'm seeing how it feels for her, and, you know, she didn't feel as though she had a choice or any agency in what was going on, so Laura Southgate's very clever at the way she can simultaneously keep those two balls in the air.
So the boyfriend, Donnie, is he actually causing harm to Erica?
From our perspective, as people in 2020, it's clear that he is. But I guess that's another of the things that Laura Southgate's showing us. You know, things aren't always so obvious when you're in the middle of them, and even if you're a bystander to someone's life. So it's not necessarily a big red flag to other people, to either Erica or the people around her. She knows she's not happy and that things aren't right. But it's kind of like, oh, you're making some bad decisions, aren't you, love? You know, and her parents are really frustrating. They've got their own issues, and they're just vaguely disapproving of this vastly older man who seems to be in their daughter's life. And he's not just older. He's a perpetual student, but he never progresses with his studies. He's like one of life's victims, but he's controlling and even actually violent with Erica. And it feels like no matter what she does, she's stuck with him. So it's quite a creepy, sinister sort of vibe. I'd be really interested to know if it affects male and female readers the same way, because while there are real obvious moments of wrongness in how he acts, there was also this real sort of visceral undercurrent of dread where things that Erica did that weren't logical and were self-defeating, but I still found very believable. She even says she doesn't even fancy Donnie, but we still understand that through some power of combination of power and manipulation and her sort of sense of psychic exhaustion that he manages to stick around.
So bleak, but not too bleak, hopefully, for in terms of reading?
It does sound bleak, doesn't it? I'm sorry, because it's a good book. It can be tough, but it's not downbeat. It does take you to that real time and place, you know, unwaged people living in Wellington about 20 years ago. But ultimately, we come out the other side for Erica. It's thought-provoking, but it's not off-putting, so please don't take it like that. Definitely recommended. And the second book I have for you today also really walks that line between tough and life-affirming. This one's called 2,000 Feet Above Worry Level by Eamon Mara.
He's got quite a reputation, a very good reputation, by the way. He's one of those Wellington names that seems to turn to gold anything he touches.
And I was new to him, and certainly I'll be keeping an eye out for him in the future. So this is called an episodic novel. So it's like a group of short stories that aren't obviously connected. But each one's a chapter or a snapshot from our protagonist's life. Eamon Murray, as you say, is very well known, especially on the Wellington scene. He's a comedian and he's a performer as well as a writer. He says the book's not an autobiographical, but it's got true bits in it. And like the boyfriend, there's a lot that people will relate to here. The Victoria University Press site says that the book occupies the precarious spaces in which many 20-somethings find themselves, forced to live in the present moment as late capitalism presses in from all sides, and mortifying subjects, loserdom, depression, unemployment, are surveyed with dignity and stoicism. And I thought that really hits this book on the head.
And quite personal subject matter by the sounds of things.
It is, and there's some really uncomfortable moments, and it's that sort of thing that people describe as brave, you know, things you wouldn't want other people knowing about you. But when you do, and you lay them bare, you take away the power and the shame and the embarrassment. It's a tough read in other ways too. There's one section about the wart that, if you've read it, you'll know what I mean. You can hardly keep your eyes open with cringing. But like the boyfriend, this book has other elements that really keep it from being dire. There's black humour. There's an awesome story about a youthful camping expedition in particular, which was a highlight. And this book's been absolutely received.
I'm talking to Lisa Glass, by the way, who's our book reviewer, and she's reviewing three debut novels by New Zealanders. He's a comedian as well, so has he performed readings from this book?
He's read sections of it at comedy gigs, but he's actually also giving a talk on the book this week, if you're in Nelson, the Nelson Arts Festival later this week. So do jump on the website and have a look, and you might be able to score tickets to see him in person. So there's your hot tip, Nelson people.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Lisa. Finally, The Swimmers by Chloe Lane.
So this is another book about a really serious subject, but honestly, this book gave me so many laughs as well. It's centred on a few days in the life of a young woman called Erin, whose mum has motor neuron disease and she wants her daughter's help to die. So clearly, a little bit of a bleak subject matter.
Yep.
But honestly, it's dealt with beautifully. It's not cloying and it's not inaccessible. So Erin's mum's always been a strong woman, both physically and mentally, but now her body's not doing what she tells it to do, and so she's cooked up a plan with her sister to make a plan with a local vet to get the necessary pharmaceuticals to end her life. Unlike the previous two novels, which were set in Wellington, this one's set in Northland in a new subdivision, and some of the best moments come courtesy of Erin's auntie, Wynne, who's a well-meaning but slightly overbearing lady who's described, which I thought was just beautiful, described as having the sense of personal style of a wealthy lady from a small town. you have a picture of her straight away.
Totally.
It's wonderful. She collects dolphin statuettes. She's decorated Erin's mum's hospital room at home with the treasures, not realising that her sister hates the figurines, and one of her dying wishes is to get rid of the bloody dolphins. And Erin's, meanwhile, trying to come to terms with, along with the fact that her mum wants to die and is planning to do it on Tuesday, just that deadline Tuesday morning looms really large. But she's also just going through her normal life. She's awkward and stumbling through her 20s while dealing with this massive life change. And one of the things that I just love is she has this encounter with one of her auntie's neighbours. It's so cringy. She meets him when she's trying to take a shortcut through his section. She's halfway over his fence, and then she notices he's lying in the pool watching her. And it gets just more awkward after that. I won't tell you about it, but Erin finds herself in trouble with the police, and it was just the highlight of the book. It was just so embarrassing.
Honestly, there's nothing like one of those passages in a book that really makes you laugh out loud, right? There's some that I still go back to.
Absolutely, and you just honestly, you wouldn't think in a book about euthanasia, which of course is a really topical subject, and it wasn't timed that way. The author, Chloe Lane, says it's just a coincidence. She'd been thinking about the book, yeah, as you do, for ages. She was living in Florida when she wrote the short story that The Swimmers grew out of. So it's not pro or anti-euthanasia. It's just a real look at what serious illness can mean and how people react, and in particular, just the really horrible practicalities of, well, okay, you make this decision. What does it mean? What do you have to do? What are the steps that you have to go through in order to, you know, to make this a reality?
But you enjoyed it, hey?
Oh, yeah. I never had the feeling that it was a worthy book, you know, because you want to support New Zealand authors and you think, oh, you know, it was none of these books were like that. You know, it was a pleasure. I looked forward to reading it. All three of these books were really impressive. And the fact that they're first novels shouldn't be taken as a symbol of what kind of books they are. All these authors have been writing in various forms for a long time. They've all, you know, they've really got the chops. They've developed their own voices. And, you know, this is a tough year to release a first book. Mm. So I just want to say kudos to all of them. I hope we'll be hearing more from Laura Southgate, Eamon Mara and Chloe Lane.
Thank you, Lisa. Love to chat with you. And thank you for getting through all these three books in order to tell us about them.
Thanks.
The books are called The Boyfriend, 2,000 Feet Above Worry Level and The Swimmers.